Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Stephen was new in town. He had moved with his parents and sisters from out of state and was feeling pretty lonely. He was smart, geeky, and wore glasses that hooked over his protruding ears. The neighborhood boys did not welcome him with open arms. They taunted him for his manner and appearance. The bullies among them pummeled him after school. Because he was slight and gangly, he made a pretty defenseless target. He was not going to win in a fight. One day he had an idea. He borrowed his dad's video camera and approached some of the ringleaders. "I'm going to make a movie," he announced. "Any of you guys want to be in it?" The bullying came to an end. Stephen had assembled his first cast. Later ones would prove more distinguished, but perhaps no more significant in his life. The young filmmaker was named Steven Spielberg. From a parent's perspective, how can we help a child who is being bullied help himself? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has had years of experience working with bullying issues. Izzy Kallman has been a school psychologist for 25 years and has developed unique methods to deal with anger and bullying. In contrast to most anti-bullying approaches, he teaches kids how to solve their own problems without anyone's help and without getting anyone into trouble. His simple, innovative methods are detailed in his new book, Bullies to Buddies: How to Turn Your Enemies into Friends. He currently travels throughout the country training mental health professionals to use his techniques. Mr. Kallman has taught thousands of people how to stop being picked on. He is the father of three children, two daughters and a son, 21, 18, and 13. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Mr. Kallman.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
What would you say is the most important thing a child should do when responding to bullying?
It's what Steven Spielberg in the story did. He treated them like friends. If you treat people like friends, they'll be your friends. If you treat people like enemies, they'll be your enemies.
Isn't it a little more complicated than that?
No.
If someone's calling you a terrible name, for example,
You
know, your immediate response is not to say, "Nice day, isn't it?" How do you do that?
By using your brain. You know, we have big brains. We are programmed to win. Mother Nature is not stupid. She programmed us to win. The problem is she programmed us to win in nature, in the conditions of nature where might makes right. Everybody has to stand up for yourself. Your place in the group is dependent a lot on your own physical strength. But in civilization, it doesn't work that way. In civilization, might does not make right. In civilization, if you use might, you get in trouble. Today, justice makes right. You have to live by the laws. So today, you don't really have to worry about being beaten up. Because what happens, let's say today you do something to me I don't like. It triggers my anger response. You know, I want to put my fist through your face, but I'm not allowed to. So you can sit there antagonizing me, and I'm getting angrier and angrier and angrier because I want to win this conflict. But you're not afraid of me. So you can use my own biological program against me. I'm getting angry to win this conflict. I automatically lose by getting angry, and you keep on antagonizing me and doing exactly what I don't want you to be doing to me. So what I have to do is I have to use my brain, and I have to tell myself, how do I really win? When I realize that by getting angry, I'm automatically losing, and by the way to win is by not getting angry, then I don't want to get angry. The question is, how do you teach this to kids?
Okay, and how do you teach this to kids?
I have a game that I developed, you know, many years ago that I play with kids that teaches them what's going on. I can describe it, but it's a lot more effective to play it.
Okay.
It's going to make me be the guinea pig. Okay. I knew it.
But it's fun. The truth is, it's fun.
Okay.
To play it is more fun than
I'll
to watch.
I'll be having fun watching you.
Okay. Linda, by the way, are you a good person?
Sure.
You're a good human being, right? Okay. I'm going to play a game with you. This game is going to teach you the real reason anybody gets picked on over and over again. You can't stop yourself from being picked on once. That is not in your control. You know, you can't stop somebody from coming over and bothering you once. But if they keep on bothering you, it depends on your response. There's only one reason anybody gets picked on over and over again. This game is going to teach you the real reason it happens and how to make it stop. Linda, in this game, your job is to insult me. You know, call me names, and my job is to make you stop insulting me. But don't let me stop you, because if I can stop you, I win and you lose. And I want you to do a good job. Do not worry about hurting my feelings. It is only a game. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I want you to do a good job. The only thing that counts is that you don't let me stop you. And you can repeat the same insult over and over again. Don't sound like a machine gun. Make it like a conversation. Don't work hard.
In my life, I've never done this, so this is a very big challenge.
Okay, I'll make it easy. Just call me an idiot.
You are an idiot.
Who are you calling an idiot?
I'm calling you an idiot. Well, you are.
I am not an idiot.
You are.
I am not an idiot. You will shut your mouth.
I will not shut my mouth. I am sick of how you are behaving.
I'm behaving. I'm sitting here having a conversation. You're calling me an idiot. I am not an idiot.
Yes, you are.
I am not an idiot.
You are an idiot.
Nobody calls me an idiot and gets away with it.
I intend to get away with it
because I'm right. You are not going to get away with it. You have no right to sit there calling me an idiot.
You can't do anything to hurt me.
Oh, no.
I know
karate. You
are an idiot.
I'll break every bone in your body.
Karate, I don't care what you.
You don't
know.
Care. You're crazy. You want to get yourself hurt. I mean, you call me an idiot one more time. You are really going to be sorry.
I won't be sorry.
Yes,
I'm not sorry. I'm pleased that I'm accurate. I know what you're like.
But I am not an idiot. I want an apology from you.
I have no apology for someone who behaves like you behave.
Like I behave. You're sitting there calling me an idiot, and you're saying my behavior is no good. You're the one calling me an idiot. Now, you apologize.
You think idiot is a bad name?
Yes, it is.
Well, then you're a dummy.
I am not a dummy either. Now, shut your mouth. Okay, I give up. Linda, you did a good job. I tried really hard to get you to stop insulting me. Was I able to do it?
Nope.
So if you want to insult me, can I make you stop? In this game, can I make you stop insulting me?
I don't think so.
Okay. We're going to play the game one more time. Same game, you have to insult me, I have to make you stop. Can I make you stop? Can I force you to stop?
Well, I know you have a method. Okay. I guess you're going to use it now.
Okay. Well, most people say no.
No.
Okay. You know, it's your mouth, it's your brain. If you want to insult me, you're going to insult me. Now, you did a good job. I want you to do a good job again. Go ahead and don't let me stop you.
You are some big dummy.
That's what my kids tell me all the time.
Well, I think your kids are probably right.
And they are. You should see some of the stupid stuff I do sometimes.
What kinds of stupid stuff are you going to confess to?
Oh, you don't have enough time to listen to them all.
Well, I think you're a dummy, too.
A lot of people do. And I am. I don't know about you, but I'm a dummy.
Well, this works a whole lot better than your fighting.
Are you stopping or you want to insult me some more? You sure?
I have no more insults. I've used up my battery.
If you want to, it's perfectly okay.
You like it.
If you like to do it, if it makes you happy, it makes me happy. Okay, you're stopping, right? It was a lot harder this time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Who won the game the first time?
I guess I did.
Who won the second time?
You did. From the beginning.
That's right. Who looked like an idiot the first time? Or who sounded like an idiot?
Well, you did.
Did I sound like a little idiot or a big idiot?
A very big one.
A gigantic idiot.
Yes.
And a super-sized idiot. Who sounded like an idiot the second time?
I guess I did.
Did you feel like an idiot the second
time? Yes, I felt very bad.
Yeah, so the first time I was the idiot, the second time you were the idiot. Which time could you respect me more?
The second.
Could you respect me the first time?
No, you don't have any respect for somebody who's ranting and raging and carrying on.
That's right. Even though I'm standing up for myself and you have no right to talk to me like that and I'm warning you and threatening you, you couldn't respect me because I look like a gigantic idiot. Could you respect me the second time?
I probably because you were being honest.
But by my behavior, could you disrespect me?
You could respect, yes.
Yeah, because even though... Not only wasn't I defending myself, I was even agreeing with your insults and adding to the insults about myself. You could actually respect me more the second time.
Yes.
And which time did I work harder?
The first time, I
think. I'm yelling and I'm screaming. I'm patting my fists on my legs. My blood pressure was going up. I was working very, very hard the first time. Did I work hard the second time?
It didn't come across as hard work.
Did I look like I was working hard?
No.
The second time, did you see me trying to stop you or did you see me letting you insult me?
You let me.
Yeah. Does it require any work on my part to let you insult me?
I think it requires self-control on your part, a lot of
it. It requires brain. Okay. But it doesn't require working hard. It just requires knowing what the solution is. I knew I was going to win this one. I've done it thousands of times. I knew what was going to happen. But anyway, when you were insulting me the first time and I was getting angry, who was making me angry?
I guess I was.
Yeah, wasn't it very obvious? You know, you were insulting me, I was getting angry. But it wasn't really you who was making me angry. You know who was really making me angry? I made myself angry the first time. I had you do the same thing two times. I had you insult me two times. One time I got angry, one time I did not get angry. Do you have a remote control to my brain and you're pressing on the anger button? If I don't want to get angry, you can't make me angry. It only looked like you were making me angry because you were saying the insults and I was getting angry, but I was doing it to myself. It didn't work, but everybody in the audience heard me trying to stop you, but that was really an illusion. It looked like I was trying to stop you the first time. You know what I was really doing to you the first time? I was making you continue.
You're making me angry.
I was angry. You were having a great time. The second time you felt, you know, lousy, the first time you were happy, you were smiling, you were laughing, you were having fun the first time. So the first time, you know, it looked like I was trying to stop you, but I was making you have lots of fun. I made you win. I made myself look like a gigantic idiot. Why in the world should you stop? You're having a great time. So it looked like I was trying to stop you. In reality, I was making you continue. And nobody could see what I was really doing to you. Now, this is what happens when kids get picked on. You know, you make fun of me and I get angry. And it doesn't matter if I keep it inside or if I express it outwardly. If I'm feeling bad, you're winning. You're defeating me. So you're going to keep on doing that to me because every living thing is programmed to try to win in a conflict. There's no living creature that's programmed to lose in a conflict. So the moment I'm getting angry, you're winning. And I look like an idiot and you keep on doing it to me. The only reason anybody gets picked on over and over again is because it bothers them. Nobody gets picked on if it doesn't bother them. It's impossible to keep on picking on somebody if it doesn't bother them. Now, the second time we played the game, there was also an illusion. It looked like I was letting you insult me. I was doing the exact opposite. I was stopping you. Wasn't it a lot harder to insult me if it didn't bother me? And you feel stupid and you stop before long.
Yeah, you do.
Are you saying that basically people who are bullies are really no different than anybody else?
Absolutely. They're no different. All you have to do is encounter somebody who acts like a victim and you're going to become a bully.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on responding to bullies.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Mr. Izzy Tallman about how to respond to bullies.
Would you talk a little bit about telling on a bully?
You know, we're telling kids to tell. You know, telling isn't tattling. The best legal way to get somebody to despise you is to tell on them to the authorities. And if you're not sure about this, try the simple experiment. The next time your neighbor does something you don't like, call the police on them.
They'll love you.
They'll love you for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've known people who did that. Their neighbor's dog was barking late at night. They called the police. They became mortal enemies after that. Their neighbors tortured them for years afterwards. Now, it would be a different story if the idea of telling were, you know, tell who's bothering you and we'll send you for counseling. But that's not what we're telling kids. You know, we're telling kids, tell us who's bothering you. We'll send them for counseling. You know, it's always been, if I have difficulty getting along with other people, I need counseling. Today, the rule is, if I have difficulty getting along with other people, they need counseling. Today, the idea is we're teaching our children that they have a right to live an entire life in which nobody says or does anything to them that they don't like. It doesn't have to injure them or cause them pain if they don't like it, if it makes them uncomfortable, if they find it offensive. They shouldn't have to experience it. And if they do experience it, it is not their job to handle it. It's our job, the adults, to protect them from these experiences and to send to counseling, you know, or punish anybody who's making them have these experiences. Now, I wonder how these kids are going to manage when they grow up. They're being led to believe they're entitled to a life without any kind of abuse. Then they're going to get married and have children, and they're going to discover what abuse is really like.
You said children before you said abuse.
You know, we're so concerned about abuse that goes on in schools, you know, bullying in schools. Schools is actually the place where the least amount of bullying goes on. It happens, but percentage-wise, it's less than most other situations. You know, there's more bullying going on in the workplace. Sometimes you hear people, you know, saying or writing, bullying wouldn't be tolerated in the workplace and it shouldn't be tolerated in schools either. There's more bullying going on in the workplace. I recently read a research article that showed that more than 50% of people feel that somebody at work is bothering them repeatedly, either their boss or their colleague. There's more bullying going on at work. And the most goes on at home. Why do you think the divorce rate is about 50%?
One of the common things that goes on with kids is the bully will take something that belongs to another child, a jacket or a soccer ball or a pen, and refuse to return it.
Okay.
And I believe that you recommend that in a case like that, the child should tell the appropriate adult. Now, isn't that going to then elicit the same kind of payback?
It is not the first thing you do. First of all, you have to realize is the other person taking your jacket or your ball because they're trying to steal it or they're trying to annoy you. If they're trying to steal it, that's not bullying. That's a crime. Theft is a crime.
Right.
But often they'll take your things to annoy you. So I acted out with kids, just like I was acting out with you, how to get, you know, kids to stop, you know, teasing you. I act out how to, you know, what to do with kids take your things. Usually they take it because they want to annoy you. And then you start getting, like, give me back my book. And they just throw it around from kid to kid. So I'll teach in that case, just, you know, you can say nice, you know, I really do need my book back, you know, when you finish with it. Or if they take your cell phone, you say, you know, if you want to use my cell phone, be my guest, just don't call out of the country, things like that. if they, after a while, they'll give it back to you. But if you start chasing them, they're going to keep on withholding it from you.
So it's basically the same philosophy.
It's the same philosophy. But if they're doing it to steal, that is not bullying. That is theft. That's a crime. So let's say you took my cell phone. I'll tell you in the beginning, you know, I really do need my cell phone back. If you want to use it, be my guest, but I do need it back. If, you know, let's say an hour or two goes by and you still didn't give it back to me because you really try, your intention is to steal it. I'll tell you, you know, I really, you know, would hate to see you getting in trouble. I really do need my cell phone back. It cost me a lot of money. I really need it back. Then if you don't give it back to me, then I'll tell. That's stealing. That's not bullying. That's a crime.
And then what happens to the kid who tells?
Now, I have to make an evaluation. If I live in a place where there's no good legal justice system and I'm going to get killed if I tell, then I won't tell. If I live in a place where there's no rule of law and I know you're going to kill me if I tell, then I'll let you steal it. It's like, you know, if somebody mugs you and you don't give them, you know, your wallet, they're going to kill you, so you give them the wallet. So if there's no, you know, police protection around, then I won't tell.
But that's more dramatic than the child next door takes the soccer ball.
That's right.
And if you tell that child's mother or your own and the kid gets in trouble and has to give back the soccer ball and say, I'm really sorry, that kid is going to just hate you for life.
But I've given you a couple of chances first. First, I told you, if you want to use it, be my guest. So I'm treating like a friend, and then you'll probably like me for it, and you won't want to take it. But if you really are trying to steal, I'll give you another chance. I'll tell you, I really do need it back. I'd hate to see you getting in trouble. I don't want to see you getting in trouble. I'm protecting. I'm trying to protect you. If then you still insist on stealing it, that's theft. You should be punished for that.
Now, how do you deal with kids who are pretty young to try to get their heads around the idea of being a friend and turning things around? This is pretty sophisticated thinking.
But it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I do it role playing. I do with kids the very same game I played with you. By the way, I didn't finish what I do. The next stage is that I insult the kid. The last stage, I tell the kid, I'm going to help you practice not getting angry. I'm going to insult you, and I want you not to get angry no matter what I say. And you know what happens when I say really horrible insults, worse than, you know, the other kids give them. You know what happens in that stage when I start insulting the kid? They smile, they laugh. Because when you stop getting upset about insults, it turns into humor. Compliments aren't funny. Try to find a funny compliment. Insults are funny. And the more insulting it is, the funnier it is. And sometimes you'll see kids having insult contests. Your mama this, your mama that. They're both insulting each other and they're laughing their heads off. I saw recently the movie Remember the Titans. Fantastic movie. I think every human being should watch this movie. It's about high school football teams. You do not have to like or understand football to enjoy the movie. But there's one scene that takes place in the locker room. It's not a comedy. It's a serious movie. But in the locker room, one kid insults another kid's mother. And that kid starts getting angry. But then another kid saves the day. He insults somebody else's mother. And in a matter of seconds, everybody is insulting everybody's mothers and they're laughing their heads off. Because compliments are not funny. Insults are funny. There's one kid I worked with, a teenager. He described these two bullies, you know, in his school. During lunchtime, they'll go around the cafeteria, and they go around insulting kids. They insult kids. Some kids laugh, and some kids get upset. If you're emotionally smart, you laugh, and if you're emotionally not smart, you get upset. So they're really testing kids. They'd much rather get a laugh than get kids upset. But, you know, if you get upset, they also win. We take humor so much for granted, we can spend our whole lives laughing, and it never even occurs to us what makes us laugh.
That's
Start paying attention to the comedy shows you like. It's people being insulted, being hurt, being looking miserable. That's what makes us laugh.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on responding to bullies.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $10 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Izzy Coleman about how to respond to bullies. Mr. Coleman, what do you teach about the golden rule?
What I teach is that the golden rule is actually the ultimate empowerment. The golden rule means that you have to be nice to people even if they're mean to you. That's what the golden rule is, to treat others the way you want to treat it. But it's a very brilliant rule. We are biologically programmed to treat others the way they treat us. You know, when people are nice to us, we feel like being nice back. When people are mean to us, we feel like being mean back. So the golden rule takes advantage of this. Since we're all programmed that way, if I treat you the way you treat me, if I live by the way I'm biologically programmed, I give up control over my relationships. You are the one who determines how it goes. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice back and we'll be friends. And if you're mean to me, I'll be mean back and we'll be enemies. The golden rule puts me in charge. I'm going to treat you like a friend, even if you treat me like an enemy. Because how long can you keep on treating me like an enemy if I'm always treating you like a friend? Before long, you're going to start treating me like a friend because you are biologically programmed to treat me the way I treat you. So it's really the ultimate empowerment. And in my book, I give the rules for treating people like friends. You know, we take it for granted that we know what it means to be a friend. We don't know. And even mental health professionals, they have the same kinds of problems that, you know, kids who are bullied, because nobody ever taught us what it means to be a friend. There are all kinds of things that we do that we're not aware that we're treating other people like enemies. If you're a victim, you're treating the other people like enemies.
What kinds of things, then, do you think children should keep in mind to treat someone else like a friend?
Okay. I have 8 rules in my book. The single most important one is you treat everything people tell you like the words of your best friend. Since you want the person to be your friend, you tell yourself, well, they're being your friend. So no matter how nasty or insulting or critical they are, you have to tell yourself the only reason they're treating you like this is because they love you and care about you and trying to help you. So if they call you an idiot, it's not because they're looking to hurt you. It's because they want you to be smarter. So you should be grateful to them for wanting you to be smarter. And you want to know from them, how do you think I can be smarter? If they call you a fatso, it's not because they're looking to hurt you. It's because they want you to go on a diet and get in shape and be healthier. So you know, whatever they tell you, you thank them for it. You treat it like the words of a friend. It doesn't mean you have to believe what they're telling you. You don't have to believe you're an idiot. You also don't have to do what they're telling you because they're your friend. If they tell you to go jump off of a cliff, you don't go and kill yourself because they're telling you to do it. But you tell yourself the reason they're telling you to jump off of a cliff is because you're acting like a jerk and you should improve your behavior. So you treat everything they tell you as the words of your best friend, and you'll be your friends. Nothing will upset you. They'll respect you more, and they'll like you better. And it doesn't matter how weak you are. You can be the weakest person in the world. If you treat people like friends, instead of them being your bullies, they'll be your buddies. The people you call bullies, they're not only bullies. They're to their friends. They'll stand up for their friends. They'll fight for their friends. One of the first kids I worked with, he was severely learning disabled. At the age of 8, he looked like he was 4 years old. At the age of 10, he looked like he was 6 years old. But anyway, I taught him what to do. And when he was at the end of 5th grade, his mother came to me very worried. You know, she said he's going to intermediate school next year. You know, the kid's going to tear him to pieces. But anyway, she came back to me about a half year later, halfway into 6th grade, when the kid was in intermediate school. Mother came back. She said, you know what? Not only isn't TJ being picked on, the tough kids in school are competing with each other. Who's going to protect him?
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, that's success.
That's a very good testimonial. Well, unfortunately, we need to close in just a minute, but before we do, do you have any resources that you could recommend to parents for this problem?
Okay. I have, in addition to my book, which is called Bullies to Buddies, How to Turn Your Enemies into Friends, the quickest way to get is by ordering it through my website, bullies2buddies.com. You can spell Bullies to Buddies either, you know, with 2 being T-O or the number 2. bullies2buddies.com. You can order my materials. You can order them from your bookstore. If any bookstore can get it for you, you can get it through Amazon.com. You can get it through libraries. I also have my website, which has free advice for kids. There's a manual for kids on how to stop being teased and bullied for free on my website, bulliestobuddies.com. There's also a manual for adults, for parents and teachers. It shows them how actually most of the fighting that goes on between kids is actually caused by the attempts of the adults to make the children stop fighting. Almost anything that adults do to make children stop fighting actually makes them fight even more. So I teach parents and teachers what to do. I have two magic responses that are very simple to do. They'll get a dramatic, dramatic reduction in fighting between kids, both at home and in school. So I would recommend that. There's also a very nice book called Helping Kids Handle Put-Downs. And another good book is called How to Handle Bullies, Teasers, and Other Meanies. That's by Kate Cohen Posey.
Well, we have to thank you, Izzy Kalman, for coming on our show today. And we are so grateful for all the insights and all the suggestions that you've given.
Thank you very much.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Mr. Kalman's book, Bullies to Buddies, How to Turn Your Enemies into Friends. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 267. Tell us if you can what station you are listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the McCormick family. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.